This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Well, it was another exciting night at the Garden. We'll talk about that. Get you caught up on some baseball and some football as well. The draft is Thursday already. Join the conversation at 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY, 98_7FM, along with Harvey and Chantel. We ride until midnight on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon Damer, hello.
Larry Hardesty, how you feeling tonight, my friend?
I'm feeling very good, partner. How are you?
Can't complain.
Good.
I do have some troubling news for maybe a little bit later on in the show, but maybe we'll leave that until the 11 o'clock hour.
Oh, no. Troubling news. No.
Definitely troubling news. It's concerning troubling news. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but the word troubling is still in there.
Oh, it's in there. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's absolutely troubling.
Oh, that's not good. All right, well, we have to find out about this.
But look, we have so much good stuff going on,
we
right?
We do.
Every day there's a big win in this town. Last night it was the Knicks. Tonight, your New York Rangers.
Absolutely. And that's our top story. So let's roll with that, Gordon Damon. We invite the Ranger fans, as we invite the Knicks fans last night, leaving the Garden. Give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. Want to hear from you. How you survived those final 2:45, Gordon, with the man advantage. A man disadvantage, rather. They pulled the goaltender, Washington does, and pucks on net. That final 40 seconds, Gordon, troubling.
Well,
to borrow
I'll
a phrase from you.
I was under the impression this was supposed to be a nice, easy, breezy kind of series for the Rangers, right? Capitals are this terrible team, shouldn't even have been in the playoffs. The Rangers, they're the top team in the entire sport. I don't know. It felt a little too close for comfort tonight at times.
When that 4-2 game went to 4-3, Gordon,
mm-hmm.
it's a whole
right.
other tone.
It's amazing how quickly your confidence can change, right?
Yes,
I can't speak to being a Ranger fan, but I would assume you can feel great. This amazing season, we're having this deep. And then one thing kind of goes wrong, and all of a sudden, I don't like the way this is going. Momentum can shift quickly.
By shift.
Yes.
In the NHL,
exactly.
By shift. Momentum changes by shift. But woosah, it was okay.
Exactly.
Vincent Trocheck, Mika Zibanejad each had the goal and then assist. Rangers hold on to beat the Caps 4-3, 2-0 lead in their first-round playoff series. Igor Shesterkin stopped 22 shots. Seemed like he had a relatively easy night, Gordon, except for the final 2 minutes.
Yeah, things get a little hairy there down the stretch of things. And right, it's amazing how quickly things can change, but this is what you came into it looking for. Keep the home ice. You get 2 wins. Doesn't matter how you get them. They go in the win column. It doesn't matter if it's 4-3, 7-2, 10-1.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
1-0.
Right, exactly.
Doesn't matter. We'll take the win and we'll keep on rolling. Once again, Ranger fans, give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. Well, Gordon, the NBA has ruled on the final seconds of the game last night at the Garden, you know.
Oh, did they? Oh, yes. Pray tell, what did they say, Larry?
They say Tyrese Maxey was fouled not once but twice during
the
defining sequence in the loss to the Knicks. He was fouled by Jalen Brunson, who grabbed his jersey, and by Josh Hart, who bumped into Maxey before Maxey's turnover that led to the go-ahead three-pointer.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes, and that led before
somebody
the
grabbed his jersey, too. That's
it. So they sent an apology. Because you know they don't play these games over.
No, they don't. We found that out during the regular season, and that is still the case in the postseason. So I would say for Knicks fans, don't expect a favorable whistle.
No.
At any point in Game 3.
No. Or 4.
Probably Game 4, too. But like just for the time being, Game 3, expect that you're going to have to beat the Sixers and the officials.
Which is why Tibbs last night kept saying, you know, I still see some contact from Jalen Brunson.
Look, Tibbs can do anything he wants. He can try anything he wants. He can't even get it back to even, right? Like, it's still going to be heavily favored towards the Sixers in Game 3. Just expect
no question.
It. Just know it going in.
Absolutely. And by the way, we'll follow that game that you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hopefully, Gordon, Monica McNutt will be as excited as she was.
She's gotten
in the
viral.
Final seconds
yes,
last
she's
night.
She's gotten viral.
Yes, hopefully she'll be as excited, but not as tense. Hopefully it'll be a little easier.
Yeah.
A little more room to breathe.
I mean, you do pay for it, that experience. This is part of the experience. You have to, if it's easy all the time, what fun is that? You have to have some tension. You have to have those moments. And the moment last night for the Knicks fan is, I mean, there's not a lot of competition over the last 20 years, so, I mean, that's one of the reasons why it stands out. But that's one of those nights you'll always remember as a Knicks fan. And I would think that some young kid someplace who got to stay up and watch that game all the way to its conclusion, they might have been kind of a Knicks fan, and now they're fully on board. They're part of the brethren of being a Knicks fan.
No question. Nikola Jokic's brother reportedly involved in the fan altercation. Gordon, the NBA and Denver police say they're looking into an incident in which a man, reportedly one of the brothers of the Nuggets star, was seen punching a fan last night after Denver's buzzer-beating win over the Lakers. That was, you talk about a heartbreaker.
Oh.
A fall-away jumper at the buzzer kills you. Oh, that was great game.
And of course, you had the big miss by LeBron.
That's right.
It could not be any more open.
No. No. No question about it. Pelicans' Zion Williamson left hamstring, eyes a playoff return. Gordon, when asked if there's a chance he could return this postseason, he said, that's definitely realistic. That's absolutely realistic. But like I said, I got to pass the test and get back to baseline, and hopefully I'll be out there. You know, this playoffs, injuries and less than 100% of very prominent players, going to be the storyline of this postseason. Giannis in Milwaukee, you got Embiid in Philly. Zion Williamson down with the Pelicans. You got Kawhi Leonard in L.A. A lot of folks, you know, not playing up to 100% because of injuries.
And here's the thing. You and I think everybody kind of mocks load management and mocks the guys resting during the season. But these are not questionable injuries that these guys are dealing with. I mean, these are serious injuries, and they're missing time as a result of it. And with the balance of importance favoring the postseason so much, I don't think you're ever going to get rid of load management in the NBA because you're killing yourself the entire season to get to the postseason. If you don't have your star players, the chances of you advancing or winning, they're not very good.
They are not.
not very good at all.
They are not. More reports coming in on this, Gordon. This is not new. We've heard about this for the past couple of days. It looks like it's getting closer to be an official thing. And that is Caitlin Clark preparing to sign that $28 million deal with Nike, considered the richest sponsorship contract for a women's basketball player. The deal will be for 8 years and include a signature shoe. And much like Michael Jordan, she's making more money with the shoe than she is on the court.
Yeah, well, she kind of has to, right? Because the league is struggling so much, and it's a collectively bargained situation. In this environment with her shoe, she's a free agent, right? She's not a free agent when she goes into the league. She's drafted into the league. She's the first pick of the league. And each year, that contract is set in stone because of the collective bargaining agreement and the financial situation with that league. Here she can become a free agent and make as much money as she wants, and she's going to do very, very well, and good for her. And the Indiana Fever colors are? You know, Jordan got very lucky. The red, the black, the white, that was just a good look.
Yes.
It feels like the Indiana Fever does. I think it's like blue and yellow. I don't know if it's, I got to check out what the Fever's colors are. I don't know if she's going to. Now, does it have to match the color of the jersey?
Think it does.
I guess
no.
It could be anything you want.
Could be anything
because
you want.
The jerseys change every single night as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, could be anything you want. The style is going to be the key thing there, Gordon. The style.
Right. Could you imagine the pressure?
Oh.
On the designers of that sneaker.
Yeah.
You can't mess that up, man.
No.
You mess that up,
it's over.
Woo! And the amount of people that are going to have input on that thing.
It's amazing. Gordon, I saw this story in the New York Post today, and I thought immediately about you.
Immediately. I don't know if that's good. By the way, the Indiana Fever, I mean, this is just ridiculous, Larry.
Yeah.
Their colors are navy, blue, red, and gold.
Okay.
You can't have blue, red, and it can't be blue and red. It can't. It's blue or red. Everybody knows that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's all right. No problem. So, Gordon, you know Rudy Gobert has been inspired by Aaron Rodgers.
Did you
hear about this?
Yes, I did hear about this.
Yes. You know, following their first year with the Timberwolves, Minnesota's defensive stalwart reached out to the Jet quarterback last offseason regarding the darkness retreats. Now, this is, you know, ESPN reported it as well.
Right.
This is quoting Gobert. We are so distracted by everything that's been thrown at us, everything that we hear, we watch, we see on the phone, we listen to, so we don't get to sometimes really be alone with ourselves. Rudy Gobert.
I have no problem being alone by myself. I'm alone by alone by myself a lot of the time. It's what I'm looking forward to. Hey, look, at the end of the day, it sounds weird to me to go into like a hole and just be there by yourself alone with your thoughts. If that helps you,
great.
Godspeed, my friend.
Great. Keep up the great work.
Right.
Keep up the great work.
I would just be worried, given the day and age that we live in and the state of the world, you might go into the darkness retreat and you come out and the whole world's gone. Who knows?
Gone.
Yeah.
Gone. And you wouldn't know a thing. You'd be right. The last person standing.
Where is everybody? Oh, that's what happened. Yeah.
No Wi-Fi? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Phone don't work? Nothing.
Nothing.
Yankees had good news and bad news today, Gordon Damer. We'll start with the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Rizzo, two-run home run, capped a four-run first inning. Yankees held on for a 4-3 win over the Oakland A's tonight. Bad news, Yankee veteran third baseman DJ LeMahieu, first rehab game Tuesday, one at bat, was removed from the game with Double-A Somerset due to right foot soreness. The team said after striking out in his first at bat and playing one inning in the field, he will return to the New York tomorrow to be re-examined by the Yankees team physician.
Yeah, not great if you're expecting him back anytime soon, and it kind of feels like Volpe's kind of taken over that leadoff spot, which was a question when LeMahieu went down, and it feels like Cabrera has kind of held down third base, so it's not really been that much of an issue. As far as the game tonight, it's good to see Rizzo get going, because even when the numbers don't look, Judge's struggles have kind of covered up for a lot of other people, but Rizzo has not exactly been knocking the ball around either. I think he had three extra base hits coming into the night, so you want to see him coming back from last year. The defense has struggled a little bit for him, and the offense has struggled a little bit for him, so good to see him have a big hit tonight. And the Yankee offense has struggled. They just scored in the first inning. That was it, but it was able to hold up.
And the Mets and Giants are in the bottom of the fifth, about to hit the bottom of the fifth. There's no score. Francisco Alvarez, Gordon Damer, had his surgery on his thumb today, and it's official. It will be 8 weeks. Yeah, not six tough. To eight, eight. So he's done for the next 2 months.
Yeah, that's tough, man, because I think that it's great that the Mets are playing the way they are, and it kind of opens up the possibility of playoffs, wild cards, and all that type of stuff. But I think the main thing you want to gain out of this year is who's long-term and who's short-term. Mm-hmm. And I think Alvarez clearly is long-term, but you want to see that next step forward in his career, and this was a chance for him. Really, he had gotten off to a halfway decent start, and now to be missing for 2 months, that's a big hole. And at catcher, when you have it's almost like a secret weapon. When you have offense at catcher, it doesn't feel like there's that many teams that have it. And if you lose your main guy, there's nobody that's coming close. Like Tavares is not coming close to the type of production you're getting from Alvarez.
No. Plus, you know, with all this hoopla about his offense and power, which has been proven, Gordon, he's done a real good job defensively and, and handling the pitching staff. And so that's the other thing that's going to be missed as well.
No question. And look, I still think the Met offense is the strength of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have Lindor hitting where he's hitting and McNeil not really jumping out at you and Beatty's being in and out of the lineup a little bit and Nimmo's still struggling, you'd like to see your full complement of your offense kind of to get things going.
And those are the top stories on 98.7 ESPN's ESPN New York tonight. Before we go to break, I got to talk to Carl. He's leaving MSG. Carl, tell me about this Ranger game tonight, my friend.
Yes, hi. It's his call from Marlboro. I'm just leaving the game. The Rangers, they look good. I just want to know, guys, do you think this team could go all the way? And when is Filippito coming back? Thanks, guys.
All right, Carl, thanks for the phone call. Don't know when Filippito's coming back, Gordon. Not even sure that he's going to get a chance to play. I mean, he's been out so long. When do you bring him in? This is the playoffs we're talking about here.
Yeah,
you know,
tough.
This is not easy. When you bring him in a blowout game? When are you going to have a blowout game? You know,
right.
So, you know, I don't know if you're going to see him out there. Maybe you will. You just have to, Listen, they're doing well without him. They've learned how to play without him. He's been gone so long. but maybe he'll be able to come back and they'll give him a shot. All I know is this, Gordon. You have a if Shesterkin can continue to play the way he's been playing so far the last month, 6 weeks of the season, the Rangers will have a decent shot of going deep into the postseason. They're going to go as far as Shesterkin takes them. It's the bottom line.
Yeah, and that's always a wild card in the hockey in the playoffs, in that Stanley Cup playoffs. Is can you get that hot goaltender at the right time? Can have a great regular season, but how does it fire come playoff time? And that's a major question, not just for the Rangers, but for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to – listen, just like with the NBA, every game is its own series. And so I'm going to be interested to see what, the Capitals try to do to get back into this series, Gordon, because,
I know tonight's game was a little bit closer, but
yeah.
It just feels like this is...
It's inevitable that it's going to go, I mean, maybe five?
Oh, I don't know. I'm the untrained eye. It just felt like two different leagues in terms of, like, the Capitals are not at the Rangers level. Now, sometimes you can get a fluky goal in the playoffs and everything else, and things can change. We were talking earlier, things can change in a hurry. But this seems like... Going in, it kind of felt like this almost was like a tune-up series for the Rangers, and at least so far they've handled their business.
I mean, the troubling thing, and obviously, much like you, I'm not overly into hockey, but the troubling thing is watching that Ovechkin is really not much left of what he was.
Right.
Not much left. Not much left. And, that's what you need, Gordon. You need him to, like, find the fountain of youth for a couple of games just to – wake everybody up and spear everybody on and get them motivated and stuff like that. And, he had a couple of chances tonight. Matter of fact, going into the third period, Gordon, he only had one shot on goal. I mean, this is Ovechkin. One shot?
Yeah. So, look, the Rangers handled their business tonight, and I expect them to handle their business in Game 3 as well.
Absolutely. 1-800-919-3776. We'll continue the conversation with you next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
You know, Gordon, it's weird still for me to watch Jason Kidd coaching.
As a coacher, yeah.
It's like, how I still see him, like, pushing the ball up the court.
I feel like he's still at Cal, right? I feel like he's still in that stage of his career before getting even to the NBA and Dallas Mavericks days and then the Nets days and Knick days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's he was a coveted coach for a minute, right? He was all over the place. He had a little Larry Brown in him when he first started.
Yeah.
Go here, gone, gone. But he's done a nice job there in Dallas. Done a decent job as they're battling the Clippers in Game 2 of their opening round Western Conference series. It's ESPN New York tonight here on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Now, Gordon, we're going to go a little heavier into the draft tomorrow night. We have a full show tomorrow night. And, the draft is on Thursday.
Yes.
But I got a I guess we call them tweets, even though they're on X.
I still call it Twitter.
And this is from Lost Franchise.
Okay.
My nightmare is coming. It's inevitable. Zach comes home to face the Jets. Zach takes Denver down the field in the 2 minute. Zach picks the Jets apart to the winning touchdown, eliminating the Jets from playoff contention. Game over, season over. The Broncos win. Zach is back.
Well, there's a couple of problems with that. First off, Zach is back makes it sound like Zach was ever here to begin with. Right? Like Zach is back, like we're going to rebuild this thing or that. No, you have to build it. Rebuild means that you've already done it once. So saying Zach is back means that he was already a success here. He never was. I get it if you're a Jet fan, you're tortured, and you've got scar tissue, you've got the pain of every single season and this streak that you've not made the playoffs in forever. And so you devise all these scenarios, how this can go wrong and that can go wrong. If you're devising scenarios where Zach Wilson is going to come back here and cost you a playoff spot, it might be time to go outside and hug a tree or touch the grass or look at the sky or something. Do something else with your life.
Maybe a darkness retreat.
Maybe a darkness retreat. Maybe that's the way you got to go. However you got to do it, the last thing you should be worried about is Zach Wilson. Chances are we will never hear about Zach Wilson ever again. I've already heard that the Broncos are looking to draft a quarterback in the draft on Thursday. Because they know. They bought a lottery ticket.
Right.
And sometimes lottery tickets win, but the majority of lottery tickets are crumpled up and thrown in the trash as soon as the drawing is held. And that's probably what's going to happen with Zach Wilson. If there was any consensus around the league that this guy really had something, or if he went to a scenario where I felt like, you know what, if he went to Kansas City and sat behind Mahomes for a year or two, okay, then maybe you might be concerned. But I think there's a very good chance that we never hear from Zach Wilson ever again. And for Jet fans, it won't be too soon.
No, there's no question about that. I saw Dan Orlovsky, Gordon, on our family of networks.
Mm-hmm.
And he made an interesting point, and that's the one of the issues that they were not able to solve with him. And it was ironic to hear him talk about this. It's going back to his college days.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson's college days. And when he said that, listen, he's got no trouble throwing the 30-yard pass. It's the intermediate pass. It's the short pass. It's the 5 to 15 to 20-yard pass that he has not mastered and didn't master it in college. And so I'm listening to this, and I'm like, if you know he didn't master it in college, why would you draft him? if he can't hit a 15 to
Larry,
a 5 to 12, a 15-yard pass, why didn't you draft him?
I have an idea for the NFL draft, and it might be a little late to institute it this year. But this, think about all the coverage that goes into the draft. Before the draft takes place, while the Chicago Bears are on the clock, every broadcast that does the draft this year should be forced to show each of the people at the dais their takes, the video of their takes of their worst analysis of the draft. So for Orlovsky, I want video or audio of when Zach Wilson was taken and he's singing rave reviews, because it just kind of puts everything into perspective for this year. Because when the first round is over, you will think that there were 32 future Hall of Famers who were just drafted.
That's right.
And we know that that's not the case. If there's five future Hall of Famers, that would be a really good draft class.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that for every single round, you have to you sit there and you give your opinions. And I think it would kind of get us back to, it almost feels like everybody wants to be overly positive about everything's the positives and there's nothing about the negatives. Yeah. And this might get us a little bit back-centered, where we'd say, okay, well, this guy might be really good at this, but it might also be really bad at that. And every single person on that day should be forced to watch their own analysis on how it went wrong.
But it's funny, Gordon, because you're right, but I think they do that at other positions. Well, he's not as a good motor. You know, he needs work. He's not good footwork. Offensive lineman. What do they tell you about offensive lineman all the time? Well, you know, he's a great pass blocker, not a good run blocker. They don't do that with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, how could you not? Anybody that watched him, if he can't throw a 15-yard pass,
so
what
problems.
Are you doing?
Right.
Why do you have him?
Well, look, here's the thing. There are. If you made it to the NFL, you have some skills.
Yeah, you do.
Especially if you're drafted in the first round, there has to be things that you can do when everything goes right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really how people are judged. It's how you handle things when things go wrong, or when things are taken away from you. How many ways can that guy beat you? It feels like the first round, everything is so positive. And here's the thing. The actual teams hit about 50% of the time.
Yep.
So I'm not expecting the people on the dais or the people that are supplying the analysis that they're going to be 100%. No, I expect them to be 50. But it would just kind of put us in a little bit of a better position where we're all guessing.
Yeah.
Everybody's guessing. It's all a crapshoot. Now, there might be some more educated guesses on the crapshoot, but it's all a crapshoot.
I mean, let's put it this way, Gordon. Would you say passing 10, 15 yards fundamental?
You would like to think if you're taking a quarterback with the second pick in the draft and he is now going to be the future of your organization, or you are tying yourself to that person, at worst case, as bad as Zach Wilson was, the Jets tied themselves to Zach Wilson for two full seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And he was terrible. You cannot be – he is in the conversation for biggest draft bust. Now, I don't think he's that. Mm-hmm. But he's in the conversation. When you're the second pick and you're as bad as he was, he would have passes in the backfield to Breece Hall where it looked like he was throwing it like sidearm. He was like skipping stones. The thing was bouncing around there so much. I know. So.
You sit down? You sit down?
Yeah, it was a bad miss. But it just shows you that – a lot of times that does end people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that the Jets, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have survived that, it's not
it's
a
amazing.
Given. Yeah.
It's amazing. Because that's nothing gets you fired quicker, Gordon, than the wrong quarterback. Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm the general manager, head coach. Nothing gets you fired quicker than picking the wrong quarterback because it sets you back.
Mm-hmm.
They're still looking for a young quarterback. They still don't have one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're getting one this year, too.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's what puts it – like, when they got Rodgers, and we were talking, no, they have to win a Super Bowl with Rodgers because when Rodgers leaves, if it's after this year, if it's in 2 years, they're back at square one.
Back at square one. And unless it's a year like last year, if he does what he's supposed to do, You're not getting a really good quarterback. You should be drafting in the high 20s, low 30s.
Right. And do you trust the judgment of the guy that
no.
picked the guy at 2 and blew
no.
it at when he's picking at 23 or something
no.
like that?
No, absolutely not. Why would I?
No, of course not.
Why would I? No, I don't trust him. Not at all. I don't trust him picking quarterbacks. I don't trust him picking offensive linemen. Do I need to go on?
Yeah, no, offensive lineman. That was a major issue walking in the door.
Oh.
It has been a talking point every single solitary offseason.
Yeah.
And the plan has always been, hey, no, I think we really got it this year.
Yeah, we got it.
We really got it this year.
We should have worked.
Should have worked.
You know, we got a free agent.
I will say this right now, Larry. I don't know if I said this with you. I said it on the Saturday show. If the Jets don't pick an offensive lineman with their first pick, by the time the Jets play their first game in October, one of those tackles will be hurt.
There's no question. But I think one of them going to be hurt anyway.
I'm not even saying, hey, they got to the end of the season and someone went down.
No.
I'm saying by the time – I don't know when the schedule's coming out. By the time they play their first game in October, one of those guys will be dinged up missing time.
Yeah. Well, you saw on the mock drafts, Samini represented the Jets, chose the tight end, Bowers.
Well, that was the talk for a while. Now it kind of feels like the feeling is now that they are looking skill position, but more of a wide receiver. There's been a lot of talk that they could trade up, and grab one of these receivers. If you're all in on this year and you're Joe Douglas, and tomorrow is promised to no one, especially you, any future draft picks they're burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah,
what do I care about next year's number one?
Yeah. Yep.
It's going to be my problem.
But in the back of your mind, it's great to have these great receivers, but if there's nobody protecting them to get the ball to them, what good are they? They're just running up and down the field, waving. I'm open.
Now, look, I think that their offensive line is significantly better at its tippy top, right? Like when everybody's healthy and everybody's good, I think this is a more sustainable. But it's much like the quarterback. Yeah, it's great when everybody's healthy week one and they're running out of the tunnel and they look great. The chances are no one has depth along the offensive line, and you need to solve that problem. I think that they would be crazy if they're sitting in there at 10 and this draft is as deep as they say in offensive linemen, grab one at 10 and don't look back.
I mean, all you have to do is look at last year's video. You have 13 different offensive line combinations.
It feels comical. And I would feel like if I were Joe Douglas, if I'm not doing anything else, like I can't guarantee that the team wins a Super Bowl. I can't guarantee the team makes a play. But I'll be damned if I'm going to leave here without at least one bona fide. I mean, you're supposed to be the offensive line guru guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you get me a guy who's a left? You're picking in the top 10 every single solitary year. You blew it on the quarterback. You blew it with the 11th pick in the draft. Can you get me a left tackle that's going to be here for the next 10 years? Can you do that one time?
Please. It would be nice. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be nice.
It does not feel like it's going to happen.
It
feels like it's going to be a receiver, and if it's not a receiver, it's going to be Bowers.
See, for me, give me the lineman, Gordon. I can get a receiver further on in the draft. I can always get a receiver.
Here's
with
the
speed.
Thing: what's going to be more pressing next year? Are you going to get to a situation if you took a whoever you take in the second round, you'd like to think is going to be more of a project than the person that you take in the first round. And that's not always the case, but, you know, sometimes things are different. But just as a thought experiment, if the person who you take in the second round is more of a project than the first round, and the third round is more, and they don't have a second round pick, so I don't even know why I'm talking about this. So you're talking about a lineman in the third round or a receiver in the third round.
I'll take receiver.
What is going to be more of a crisis point for the team next year? Is it a lineman or is it a receiver? I don't even think it's remotely close. It's obviously a lineman.
I got to tell you, Gordon, remember when they had two picks and they both chose safeties?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Marcus May and Jamal Adams, Prez.
And this year, if I had two, I would take both offensive linemen. In the same scenario, I would take both because I got to build my line.
Well, I would say because let's say Tyron Smith is the best version of himself and he's healthy the entire season. I think at this point, the dude is a year to year situation.
Absolutely.
And I don't think he's signed beyond this year.
No, it's 1 year.
So then you would have, okay, bring him in. He can kind of learn the ropes a little bit from the all pro and the pro bowler.
Yep.
And then you can transition to that guy, assuming you're still here.
Well, they'll transition to him.
Somebody's going to transition to him at some point.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, that would be the correct way to do it, but, you know, the correct way and...
The correct way to do it is not exactly the name of the Jets media guide. The correct way
always,
to do it.
Doesn't always work out that
doesn't
way.
Always work.
You know, other than the NFL draft, Gordon, the most anticipated sporting event of the year, Pickleball Showdown.
Of course.
Between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer, when Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage, Gordon. Pre-game coverage kicks off right here on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. Live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Then, shortly after the show, paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there on May 5th to witness the showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. I'm still searching ESPN Bet to see what the lines are for that. No lines.
I'd love to get some action on down on that. No one's taken me up yet.
Nobody's taken no action on you? Huh.
No. I thought Joe Leo was a little close because he's very big on Anita and Amani.
I'm hearing, you know what? I'm hearing a lot of talk about Anita and Amani to the point that I would probably go
the other
DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Well, I mean, as I said, Rick's got 10 years on Amani, and Rick is an all-round – I mean, Amani might be too, but he's a younger man. So now you're coming down to Dave and Anita. Now, I know Anita plays pickleball quite a bit.
Yes.
But
– Dave plays too? They've got some skills.
Does Dave play pickleball?
He does.
He has some pickleball. Does Dave Rothenberg own a pickleball racket?
I believe he does, from listening to the show on a couple of occasions.
Okay. So he's not going to show up with like a ping pong racket
No. DiPietro would not let Dave do that.
Now, have Dave and Rick gotten some practice in together? Do we know? See, it's hard for us to have any information whatsoever because those guys are in the morning, we're at night.
Yeah. I don't know. But I'm sure, listen, knowing how competitive both of them are, I'm sure they've practiced. They're not going out there just, you know, wishing and praying. No.
Who has more to lose here? It's Rick and Dave, right?
I would think so, yeah.
But Anita's kind of known as the pickleball expert.
Yes. And Amani sounds like he's not bad.
Right. But at least in terms of like, I know Amani does stuff, but he's not drive time in the morning. If those guys lose, they're going to hear about it for quite some time.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure on them. A lot of pressure.
At least this is after the Met game.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they
it's
did
that
this
weekend,
before
isn't
them?
It? Yeah. It's that weekend. They're
yeah.
busy.
So they are very busy. Wow. They might be a little burned out. I didn't think about that. They could be doing the Met game, hard charging there.
Mm-hmm.
And then got a quick turnaround on Sunday. This is
I'm confident that Rick and Dave will show up and give it their best shot. Confident.
That's not about your best shot. You got to win.
Confident.
Well, you got to win.
Well, you know, I think they'll win.
Okay.
I'm, you know, like I said, the betting. I'm hearing all the talk, all the conversation. You know, I'm leaning towards Rick and Dave right now.
That's the way I would lean, but and at least I have been.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's been willing to step up yet. I might be able to get Joe Leo into it. I'll just the next time we work with Leo, make sure you remind me to bring up all the draft picks and I kind of anger and get under his skin that way.
No, you're not gonna get any movement on that.
You know what yesterday was? Yesterday was the anniversary of the Jets drafting Kyle Brady.
Oh,
have you ever seen that clip?
Yes,
the
I
clip
have.
Of the Jet fans chanting, "We want Sam." Oh my God! That, oh, that is like art.
The New York Jets select tight end from Penn State, Kyle Brady.
Chris Berman has done many wonderful things in his career. Many highlights,
yes.
Right? The catch, the Emmy awards.
Yeah,
him going, ooh, when they paid the pick. Outstanding. Could
Perfect.
Not come up with a better sound effect
Perfect.
Than that.
Perfect.
They
Perfect.
Hang that in the Louvre.
They do.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's in the, you know, something with Marconi.
And Marconi's the guy, I don't know who the guy was, but on the video, there's a guy standing, he looks at his buddy like, what the hell just happened? And then he puts his hands right over his face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was good.
Unbelievable.
It was good. It was great.
You just never get it.
Look, I have nothing. I have nothing else in my life. Seeing the Jets suffer like that. Oh, but not that one. That one's special. Oh. Come on, that one is.
You never miss a moment to just.
That is funny.
Stick it to him, don't
yeah.
You?
Oh,
never miss a moment.
Remind me to bring that up to Leo next. Is he working tomorrow night? I think he's working tomorrow.
I think he is.
We'll bring that up.
Oh man, poor Joe. More of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
You know, I was just thinking about that zing-zang.
Zing-zang responsibly?
Yes, because that pickleball match,
mm-hmm.
Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, boy.
Early. Early on Cinco de Mayo, afternoon, after the Anita Mark show.
Who do you think is going to be the most impacted? Because that's a Sunday, so I would think that if you're going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, you're going to do it on the Saturday night.
Start Saturday night. Roll in.
Yeah. Who do you think would be the most impacted by that?
I don't know, but they better bring some zigzag.
You got to zigzag. When everybody else zings, you got to zang, Larry. That's what I always
say. In case.
Just in case.
Just in case. Better have some on hand. You never know.
Hair of the
Never
dog.
Know. Never know. And how about one team setting up the other team? Let's have, you know, a nice little meal, sportsmanship, night before. You know what I'm saying? You know, have a little something and, you know, have a little Cinco de Mayo. Go out there. Everybody's one team a little more sluggish.
Yeah.
You never know.
You got to do whatever you have to do. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always, always cheat, Larry.
Well,
Ken Patera from back in the day.
Former NFL superstar once said to me, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's right.
Giants up now 4-0 over the Mets.
Oh, no.
Set to the phones, and the Mets bang in the top of the eighth. 1-800-919-3776. Buddha is in the Bronx. He is next on 98.7. Hey, Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Buddha.
You know, Gordon, nothing makes you more happy than a Jets draft pick.
Oh.
Like a 75% fail rate.
it's very, very high. Well, look, I think they've been better lately, but there was a stretch there where every year it was a nightmare.
Listen, I mean, I don't know about how lately it's been. You had one draft that was good.
Right.
But,
well,
you know, when you look at the other ones, with this GM, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
you know, he's at that 25 percentile rate too, you know. But, you know, with Zach Wilson, you know, like you guys said, you know, he came in, he was Tree Williams, he was the prince of the city, you know, and he's leaving now, you know, he's Snake Plissken, you know, escaped from New York. It's just, you know, the whole thing that you want to get excited about a draft as a fan, you know, you want to say you have these things to look forward to. But all the stuff we all know is based on, you know, what Aaron Rodgers is thinking after doing, you know, smoking some Sherman Hemsley all summer. Does he want them to get him a lineman? Does he want the tight end? Does he want a wide receiver? I mean, it's all going to be based on what he wants. Like, you know, and we all know that he makes the best decisions. You know, it's another watershed moment, you know, for quite frankly an embarrassment of a franchise, you know, in the most famous city in the world. You know, we got a quarterback who has, what, 1, maybe 2 years left? I mean, 2, I think, is being gratuitous. But, you know, the GM, like you said, Gordon, he ain't worried about no picks next year. All he's worried about is trying to prolong his disappointing existence. You know, and then you wash all it's a triumvirate. You wash those two guys down with, you know, word salad. And, you know, let's be honest. He came in here talking the good vibes and all this other different stuff. You know, he felt that pressure. And, you know, he wants to make friends with media personalities. He's texting his feelings on players. Mm. And the fans' hopes and dreams are in all three of these guys' hands. And, you know, clearly the future is bright for the Jets. I mean, please, why would you not? With all of these quarterbacks that are here, if you were really trying to do what was the right thing for the franchise, I wouldn't take a lineman or receive it. You take a quarterback and you let him sit on that bench, whether Aaron Rodgers likes it or not. You get another free agent here, there, or you. And let's be honest, even with linemen, most of the linemen who are drafted in the first round are similar to quarterbacks because of the offenses that they play in college. Most of them don't work out either. Look at all of the Pro Bowl linemen who are in the league right now. Most of them were drafted in the second, third, some of them even the fourth round. But, you know, we got to do what Rodgers wants. Hey, this is great.
Well, look, I don't know. I was high on the Jets last year. That obviously, clearly I was high. I saw that Mike Clay from ESPN has come out with his 2024 NFL unit grades.
Really?
So he takes each unit on the team, quarterback, running back, each unit, and then he compiles them. I don't know if it's an algorithm or not, but he puts them into a grade. Out of the 32 teams, Larry, where do you think the Jets would wind up just in terms of talent on the roster prior to the draft?
20th.
Higher.
Really?
Yeah.
15.
Higher.
They're not top 10.
Higher.
I know Mike Clay. This is 5?
2.
No way.
He has them as the second most talented roster.
Behind who?
Behind only the 49ers and ahead of the Chiefs.
They're not more talented than Kansas City.
Well, I mean, like...
They're not more talented than Kansas City. Kansas City's got 2 Super Bowls.
Well,
how can
here's the thing.
Them?
Like, maybe the Chiefs aren't that talented, but they're really talented in the position that you really need.
Well,
that guy makes up for a lot.
Gordon, they got a better pass rusher. They got a better quarterback, and they got a better tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he goes through the
roster. And they
rosters.
Got a better coach.
Yeah, that's pretty much clear. But
and a better GM.
Yeah, you would have to say. But no, he has the Jets number 2.
Wow.
How about that, huh?
That's great. Mike Clay. Wow.
Don't say that nobody believes in the Jets. Mike
no,
Clay
they
does.
Listen, what did we hear last year about Zach Wilson, Gordon? Oh, this is it. Oh, this is the year.
Well, we heard that every single year. We heard this that when he year. Came in. He had that the preseason. Oh, he's...
But not like last year, Gordon, because
no.
Aaron
last
Rodgers
year even got me.
Is here.
It got me. It was like COVID. Everybody was catching it last year. It was rampant. It was a pandemic.
Because Aaron Rodgers is here. He's going to teach him, you know, like the Kung Fu movie, the Kung Fu series in the 70s. Take the rock from my hand, grasshopper. You know, he's gonna teach him. This is how you quarterback a team. Doggone it! This is what you do. Okay. Not so good.
It did not go well. It started amazing. He ran out of that tunnel. The green lights, the American flag. It really felt like MetLife was a Jet stadium for the first time ever.
Yep.
And then it all went downhill.
That was the highlight of the season.
That was it. It was start the middle, and the end. Yep.
All downhill from there.
All downhill.
Terrible. Gordon Field Yates was on DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I heard.
And he has some ideas on what the Jets and Giants should do. So we'll hear from him in a couple of minutes. Plus, we're going to do a preview of the Knicks and Philly game 3 in Philadelphia, which we'll hear right here tomorrow night on 98.7 ESPN. But before we do that, I've tried to hold it as long as I could, Gordon. I can't hold it any longer.
Okay.
What is troubling? What's going
on? Oh, no. Yeah, today, you know, it's springtime.
Yes.
So in springtime, you got to start getting outside, taking a look at the yard. I like doing that. It relaxes me. I'm not any good at it, but I find it relaxing. You get lost in your thoughts. You get focused on nature and you're with the birds and the bees and all the different things out there and all the different critters and creatures.
Oh, no, not bees again.
I was out there today, Larry.
No.
And I saw one of the guys whizzing by the bush from last year. Now, I don't know if this was just a guy who heard there was this really good place in town, like he was on like the bees Grubhub or something like that, and he had heard that there was this amazing bush in my neighborhood, and he was looking. He couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a replay where there's somebody else moving into the neighborhood. I'm going to have the same problem as I had last year.
Oh, no.
But it didn't feel good, Larry. I went back to the bush, make sure there was nothing growing in there.
Nothing there?
Nothing there yet. Nothing there yet. But I did know, and I went out there a couple of times, and I don't know if it was the same guy. I couldn't see his face. But there was a bee around the area. Something about that bush.
I think you should start spraying now.
I think I'm just going to have to take the bush out. Just chop it down. Just get it out of there.
It's got to go.
But it's like a front tooth. You take that thing out of the yard. I'm going to look like my yard's going to look like Michael Spinks from back in the day.
Well, we can get something.
Michael Spinks? No, it was Leon Spinks.
Leon.
We can get something.
You got your Spinks's mixed up.
I always mess up my Spinks.
You can get something that's not be attractive.
I don't know. I trust me, I still got a lot of stuff. I bought every contraption Home Depot had last year to throw at this thing. And I eventually just used poison, and that took care of it eventually.
That usually works.
That does generally work. Mm-hmm. And the bush has come back. The bush was not looking that great last year. It was kind of brown. There was a lot of holes in it. Yeah, it was a lot.
Bush took a hit.
It started to look like LeBron's hairline. You know what I mean? It was really starting to take some hits. But it's come back the winter. I don't know what happened in the winter, but it's starting to sprout again, and it's looking good. But, yeah, I don't know. We might have a replay of the bee situation from last year.
That is troubling.
But I'll be on it quicker this time. I'm not going to let it sneak up on me like last time.
No. I think you should consider getting rid of the bush.
I might have to. But then they might move on to something else. There's other things back there that they can glom onto, these stupid things.
Yeah, but they like that bush.
They do love that bush.
The bush we know.
That bush is like the Copa from back in the day. They're coming in the front door. They're going in the back door. It's like something out of Be Goodfellas.
And obviously it was a hit because people are coming back to check and see where the place is.
They've read great reviews about it. This place is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know.
I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
It says a lot about your backyard, Gordon, that it's the place to be.
It is the place to be for the bees. They love it. They can't get enough of it. Even after they love it so much, there was a mass event last year of just killing them all off, and they still want to go back into it. They're very obsessed.
Has the missus weighed in on what
she does not know about it yet? I have not informed her as of yet because you know what's going to happen, Larry. Last year, for the audience, she wanted to hire an exterminator. I said, there's absolutely no way I'm hiring an exterminator. So you know what the first comment would be. If the bees do return,
If you had hired an exterminator.
If we would have hired an exterminator, if Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened. If we would have hired an exterminator,
we wouldn't have this situation.
We wouldn't have this problem. So I have to keep this a secret.
Does she know Jeanette?
She does not. I don't believe that they've ever met. But okay. I don't know that they need to meet face-to-face, Larry.
Yeah, because it's, you know this. I knew what was coming up. Mm-hmm. You know this. That,
oh,
you know,
of course.
Chapter and verse.
Absolutely.
I was just double-checking because that same
maybe there's a message board somewhere or something.
That same song is streaming over here.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, it's very popular, kind of like Taylor Swift. It's streaming. It's big-time streaming.
Thousands. It's like a McDonald's. Billions and billions sold. It is...
It is.
Play the hits. They are playing the hits. Have no fear.
They are playing.
They are playing the hits.
They are playing. Ooh. When we return, we'll play some hits too. Kind of, I'm very curious as to what Tom Thibodeau has come up with, Gordon, because on the road, they've got to get Brunson going tomorrow night.
No question.
They have to. Listen, all due respect to Bogdanovich and McBride. Your bench guys play better at home. Off the crowd, you know, all the adages you've heard over the years. Jalen Brunson needs to show up tomorrow night. We'll discuss something that might help him out next on 98.7 ESPN.